We have only just begun, my flock. Soon we will expand from city to city. The rich and the poor alike will know of paradise for every moment of their lives. This is a nuke for every mood. We'll offer our customers the opportunity to control every aspect of their emotional lives. You know, with the white noise and the black thunder and the red ramrod and the blue velvet. Frank, the blue velvet.
I think it's ready, sir.
Language makes for bad feelings. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment, Ilm Fatilm entertainment for all mankind.
Ooh, El Film Entertainment.
Episode 234. My name is Scott Johnson. I'm joined tonight by, scroll up, by Brian. That's a tough little 10-year-old Dunaway.
Newsies. Oh, hello, Mr. Johnson. Hi. By the way, I'm doing my old man voice. Okay. I'm already an old man, so I don't really guess it matters. Anyway, oh, hello, Mr. Johnson. Let's take a walk. Listen. I would like to share some of what I have learned as the CEO of OCP over the years. Firstly, never let them see you sweat. Secondly, never agree to party like it's 1999. And thirdly, and probably most importantly, always cover your balls while walking. I call it chastity hands. Just take one hand and cup your balls, and then slowly with the other hand, slip it over the ball hand like you're wanting to date it. This provides maximum protection from ball kickers and money whores. Would you like some money, Mr. Johnson? Oh, can't reach my wallet. Hands are occupied.
What a strange trip this has been. I enjoyed the hell out of that.
Those guys, those dudes, Johnson and old man and Johnson, they're walking
great.
Down
yep.
The aisles, the halls constantly with their hands cupped around their balls.
I know, it's a little weird.
Well, you got to protect. OCP is, you know. I mean,
are you down with OCP?
You know me. Also with us, Randy, there's nothing quite like a face full of bad dudes arcade machines. Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. Today, I present to you Film Sack 2. And it just killed itself. Oh, look away, guys. Oh, no. Yeah, so can we go back to Film Sack 1, please? Can we go back to Film Sack 1? Guys, hurry.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. Because the first one didn't have a skull head or a screen with a face yelling in it.
What's that? I love that. I love the fanfare music every time. It's like, bah, 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 bah,
bah. It was amazing. Finally, with us, Brian, he's allergic to magnets, Ibbit.
You've seen him jump a row of Volkswagens. You've seen him jump over a dozen school buses. You've seen him jump Snake River Canyon. Now, Evel Knievel faces his biggest challenge yet. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you RoboCop crotch jump. I'd buy that for a dollar.
Oh, hey, they never said that once.
Nope.
Oh my gosh, it just occurred to me when you said that we didn't even get one of those. What kind of hell sequel is this?
Yeah. Jeez. Verhoeven wasn't back, so...
Well, Verhoeven didn't like the script, so he said, "Forget it." So they said, "Why don't we get that Empire Strikes Back guy in here?" And he said,
"He could read." Okay,
yeah,
that's
good
enough.
Is that what it is? All right,
we'll buy Frank Miller for a dollar.
It is RoboCop 2, the second of the RoboCop films we've seen. I have a feeling, just a hankering, or an idea in the back of my head, way back, that we might get to 3 at some point. It's also streaming.
We have until March 1st.
Yeah, we should think about that.
No, Peter Weller, I am out. No,
and
thank
maybe,
you.
But it's got Nancy Allen.
And maybe we can all hope that it's better than this.
Yeah.
Step upward.
Right. Maybe. I doubt it. I hear terrible things about 3. I've never seen 3.
So I haven't seen either. One star on Netflix.
My experience with 2 is also one of, I don't have a very strong memory of it. I'm sure I saw it, but I don't remember anything about it. And there it is before our eyes. Scott Fletcher explains more. Scott Fletcher, explain more.
RoboCop 2. The gory sequel to 1987 sci-fi blockbuster brings back half-machine, half-human RoboCop to face his greatest challenge ever. This time, the cyborg law enforcer is out to rid Detroit of a deadly new designer drug.
Okay, that's basically it, I guess.
Really?
Yeah. That was the story, I think.
That sounds like a pretty good story. all of that just boils down into like one sentence.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Weird, right? It's hard to believe. In fact, it's funny because I knew I'd heard or remembered that Frank Miller wrote the script, and I thought, this can't be that bad. I mean, Frank Miller's a beloved comic book writer.
He did
Dark Knight and freaking 300, and you know, the guy knows his stuff. So you go in there, Sin City, whatever. The guy's, you know, he's got work under his belt. You see this, and you kind of see how it could have been an okay RoboCop comic book, maybe. Like, there are moments where you're like, that's a very comic book thing to do, or that turn they took, or that action there felt very comic booky.
But the comic book is legendary for being so bad.
What, the RoboCop comic book?
Yeah, the Frank Miller's RoboCop that this movie was based on.
Oh, I didn't know he wrote the comic book.
Yeah, it's legendary for being bad.
I know he wrote... are you sure he wrote that, though? That he was the writer of those said comic books? Because I'm not sure about that.
It's called Frank Miller's RoboCop. I don't know.
Wasn't that
could
post?
This could be anybody.
Hold on. But I think he wrote the script for the movie, but then I think they followed up with a comic book, if I'm remembering correctly.
I don't see anything with his name on it here in the comics. Are you sure about this?
Okay. What I'm saying is that Frank Miller wrote a screenplay for RoboCop 2, right?
Yeah. Right.
Which he later turned into a series of comics, a 9-issue series called Frank Miller's RoboCop, which is considered to be legendarily bad. People go get it to make fun of it. That's what I'm saying.
That's weird. The one I'm showing is called RoboCop Volume 1, 23 issues, 90 to 92. Is that the one?
If you look, there's one that was from 2003 to 2006.
Yes.
Oh, newer stuff. All right.
9-issue, Frank Miller's RoboCop. So this is
based on his script for RoboCop 2.
Unused screenplay for RoboCop 2. Weird.
The one he kept in the bathroom for such occasion.
The one that got blown up with him in the trailer he was in during his little cameo.
He did a great job as the cook. I think he did it. And they called him Frank too, right? No mystery there.
Yeah, here it is. It was a total of 8-9 issues, I guess. Mm-hmm. It says it's the original uncensored RoboCop 2 screenplay.
I wonder if this is on like Comixology or something.
I wouldn't mind checking this out, honestly, just for curiosity's sake. If it was somewhere where it was like part of Marvel Unlimited, which I don't think it is. Yeah, right. Marvel no longer has the rights.
Plus this is weird. Avatar Press.
And you're telling me that's considered just as bad or worse than the movie. Maybe I don't want to see it.
Right, and here's the quote of a review of Frank Miller's RoboCop, the comic series. Having spent quite a lot of time with these comics over the past several days, researching and writing this article, I can honestly say that it makes me want to watch the movie RoboCop 2 again just to get the bad taste out of my mouth.
Oh my gosh. That says a lot. All right. Probably says all you need to know. I had no idea. That's crazy. I can't believe he still... Was it an attempt to say, hey, everyone who thinks that movie was shit, guess what? I have the unedited script here, and I'm going to make a comic, and now you'll
see
how rad.
You want to see some real shit?
I think Frank Miller was just getting some money. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had already become quite as popular as he was ever going to be. Why not sell something?
That's probably true. It's unfortunate.
If it's already written, why not?
As a series goes, RoboCop has lots of potential, I think. I've always felt that way. But maybe after watching this, maybe it was only ever truly meant to be a one-time farce about society and about consumerism and about, you know, violence or whatever that first movie was trying to do, whatever it was trying to say. You could only do that once, maybe, or maybe you didn't. Maybe you had to keep doing that, and this movie just didn't do that anymore. This movie said, all right, so we've had our statement about society. Now we're just going to have a designer drug and straight-up action and, you know, violent this and that and those elements from the first movie. But they left behind the reason RoboCop 1 probably resonated, which was its weird kind of dark purpose, of describing, us and who we are and where we're headed.
Right. To me, the first RoboCop was the first sci-fi movie that I remember going, wow, what a great characterization. I really felt for the character right from the beginning. I felt like I felt great loss from the first one. And I immediately remember connecting with the character RoboCop from the first one. And of course, this one, not so much.
Yeah. Now, why is that? That's what I'm getting at.
Because they didn't do that in this movie. In the first one, you get
different
set
writers
up.
Everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have this story that's told about someone being broken and put back together.
Right.
And this movie, dives headlong into Ain't Detroit Ridiculous. Oh, it's so silly.
What are you talking about? Are you talking about the opening scenes where we have like this carousel of crime?
Yes, like, right, I feel where like the money goes from one guy to this guy to a pair of hookers.
If like I'm at Tomorrowland at Disney and I'm kind of watching the carousel of crime where it starts out, you know, the poor bag lady gets robbed by the white guy who's got drug problem apparently, then gets beat up by the hookers and then it goes on to...
Yeah. What was great about those hookers, though, is that it was Inception hooker beating because they went... They beat up that guy, and then they went down the street and watched two more hookers beat up another guy who said the exact same line about taking my stuff. That was fantastic.
The only thing it was missing was a criminal on roller skates. Seriously.
Yeah. Right.
All it was missing.
Maybe 90, it was too late for that. Like, maybe that opportunity had passed. I don't know. But this was an 80s-ass feeling movie, though. Like, there was nothing about it that I went, oh, yeah, we're...
It just barely squeaked into the 90s with being a 90 release.
So I guess that the surprising thing for me isn't so much that I think it's pretty bad. I don't think it's great at all. But I kind of feel like it taken as a different movie, like a totally different direction for the character. I don't think it's that bad. I think we've seen worse things on Film Sack, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I think it was entertaining.
Yeah, I had fun with it.
At least it was entertaining.
I had fun with it, as evidenced by the clips we'll have later, because I couldn't stop. Like, there's many great lines.
There were so many times during the movie I'm like, oh yeah, I know Scott's going to capture that one, and Scott's definitely going to capture that one. Yeah.
I don't want to drift into hyperbole, but this movie was so bad. This movie was so bad that it has not only am I comparing it to Never Say Never Again, I'm saying this movie makes Empire Strikes Back look worse.
Whoa.
Like that's how I see.
So this actually drags down because now you're noticing the bad stuff from the director. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yes. Every scene in the film, I just feel like it's so thrown together, and there's not a directorial vision that takes me from beginning to end and gives me something. Because the script doesn't give you anything. So give me something else. Some cinematography that's amazing.
Does it make it worse? Is that line worse now?
Hate Lando Calrissian.
If it say again, I'm sorry. I totally cut you off.
You can't hold this against Irving Kirshner. Let me rephrase that. You can't judge all of Irving Kirshner's stuff in the same light just because of this one. You don't know how much effort he put into this
Good. All right. I'm with Ibbot. Here's how I will add to your argument.
Okay, please.
You can't do this to Spielberg over Crystal Skull either, can you? Now, I know Dunaway can, because Dunaway, you don't count when it comes to Spielberg. But if you like Spielberg's body of work, it's not like I saw, you know, Crystal Skull and went, man, that Saving Private Ryan sure is a piece of shit now, which I don't think Randy's saying necessarily.
No, I'm just saying it makes you think. It makes me think, like, okay, Never Say Never Again is getting worse and worse all the time. I see it every 5 years. I'm just like, ah.
Is that your favorite? You like that
one? Why would you put yourself through that? It's not even canon.
It's true. It's not.
Because it's Sean Connery.
So what?
Yeah, I remember you saying you're a fan of that one last time we saw a Bond movie.
No, I'm not. I'm just a fan of Bond movies in general. Right. And
well, this isn't a Bond movie. Oh, happens to have a character named James Bond.
Robobond, yeah. Robobond 2.
I realized he's responsible for The Last Temptation of Christ, right? No.
No, that's Scorsese.
Now this movie felt like that, but yeah, it wasn't.
Scorsese was that.
Because what RoboCop has
and
to constantly...
And a reminder RoboCop that's is, a weird thing for Scorsese to do. Is make The Last Temptation of Christ is the least Scorsese feeling movie I've ever seen. Put it that way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's the kind of that's the idea, right? What's the weird offshoot that a director with a pretty good body of work does. The thing is with Kirshner, Empire, maybe that Bond movie. Well, but the rest of it's like meh.
Right, and who knows, right? I mean, you know, have any of us seen other than Empire Strikes Back, Never Say Never Again, and RoboCop 2? Have any of us seen any of these other things that he's got in his director credits?
No.
Eyes of Laura Mars?
Eyes of Laura Mars feels like something we should see for Film Sack. I remember the commercials for this, and it's like a Stephen King kind of thing where This woman can see all the stuff that this killer.
I haven't
Faye
seen
Dunaway, this right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I haven't seen any of
and
these.
And Tommy
movies.
Lee Jones in 1980.
Young
and
Jones.
Odo.
Yeah, I saw the 1993 To Be or Not to Be episode of Sequest 2032 that he did. But I didn't know it was him when I saw it, and it's not.
What was your thoughts?
Well, I don't remember. I remember
didn't think about it,
that
right?
whole show kind of came off as wet Star Trek, like it wasn't very good from the beginning. Right. So, you know, I don't want to lump him into that problem, but like his episode of Amazing Stories is Hell Troop. Is that the? Oh no, that's Hell Toupee.
Hell
Sorry,
Toupee.
That's a very different statement.
Yeah, that's a very different thing.
So, really, instead of saying RoboCop 2 might bring down Irwin Kirshner or Irvin Kershner's body of work, maybe we say Empire Strikes Back was his
exceptional,
right? Like it's the Stephen Baldwin Usual Suspects.
Yeah, there you go. That's actually a pretty good comparison.
Okay.
But
you
take two filmmakers like George Lucas and you put him with Kirshner, and somehow the two of they worked out great together.
The magic happens,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Now, Kirshner was like 77 when he directed this movie. So okay, come on.
Well, yeah, but look at Eastwood. He's 80 something making movies that are getting nominated for Best Picture every time he does them. So I don't think you can use that as a thing. I think Kirshner was just an average actor.
Right.
He's an okay, not actor, okay director. He's fine. But
yeah,
he just,
competent director.
He got, one of these was a super hit. It was like, whoa, that was my, whatever.
We kind of complain a little bit in some ways about the movie being an oddball, but that was the whole reason why Lucas got Irving Kirshner to begin with for Empire Strikes Back, because he felt like Kirshner was not a Hollywood director. He knew Hollywood, but he wasn't a Hollywood director.
Yeah, there was a bunch of talk like that. I remember that too.
Okay. Right? I want to go around the table on exceptional.
All right.
I want to hear about your actor or director who uniformly stinks, but did this one thing that's really great.
Do I have to come up with somebody besides Stephen Baldwin, or can I use that one?
No, you do not get to use Stephen Baldwin.
You know, you're like, he's like a recycler. He wants
so
to
So what you're wanting yeah. is the one-hit wonder of directors. Is that what
or,
you're saying?
Or actors. I'll even give you actors.
Or actors. Okay.
If there's one that
Stephen
like,
Baldwin's a good one, but I understand the rules. All right, I can't start. Someone has to be someone else.
Yeah, somebody has to go in front of me.
I can't think
well,
of
Well, let's see. I mean, well, I usually go to, when I complain about directors, it's usually Spielberg, because I think his career was so phenomenal near the beginning that when he's
a little later on, it's a huge body of work that's considered good, though. It's not like one or two. It's not like one movie or two movies that were great and then the rest was shit. So he doesn't count. Like you could say, you know, it'd be easy for me to say M. Night Shyamalan, but I really liked Unbreakable a lot.
And he had more than just one. For a while, he was the go-to director.
Yeah, but so they all got pretty shitty after that Unbreakable. Like after that, things got one.
You didn't like
south.
Lady in the Water?
No, it was garbage.
What?
It's not good.
It's not good.
Village wasn't good.
It's really not good.
None of those are good. Right. Yeah, they're bad from there on. And I really love those first two movies. But right. I think if you're talking about the one-off, then he doesn't even count. So I'm trying to think of somebody who's
I'm probably going to go with an actor or something, because there's been lots of actors who have tried their hand at being a director, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Oh, I got it. Okay, keep going. Sorry, I just letting the world know I have it. All right, go ahead.
Okay.
Well, no, tell us what you got. I mean, you're so freaking excited. I want to hear what you got.
Sorry, I just vomited out. Now it just went blank.
John Ritter.
No, it just went blank. Hold on a second. This
Ooh,
is the kind
speaking
of
John Ritter. What's that?
Go ahead, John Ritter it up. I got to think of this again.
Oh, man, I wish John Ritter had stayed so much longer. I was thinking Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, I got it again. Favorite. Okay, here it is. Ready? Here it is. Sorry.
Gosh.
For me, it's Cuba Gooding Jr. in that.
Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Maguire movie. Because everything after that was like, what, Radio and then just
everything.
Terrible? Snow Dogs?
Yeah. Snow Dogs. Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
All right.
That's a quintessential answer to this question.
That's a really good answer.
Yeah.
This one might be a little controversial. I'm going to say Zack Snyder and 300.
Oh, I loved 300. Oh, you mean that was his big deal?
That was his
you think
big
so?
Deal.
Well, then you haven't seen. Okay. Have you seen
I've seen Watchmen.
Have you seen the 2004 remake of Dawn of the Dead?
No, I have not.
Fantastic.
Right. Really? And you know, yeah. I'm a big Snyder fan, so that's really harsh for me to take. I even like his crappy stuff that people usually hate, like Sucker Punch. Yeah,
like Sucker Punch. That movie is so disappointing.
I think you need to go back.
Video. It's a 2-hour music video.
Yeah, that's basically it. Awesome.
I saw that at the IMAX theater, literally by myself. There was not another human soul in the IMAX theater.
They lost money.
And
like running the electricity.
They came in and went like, "Could you leave?" And I'm like, "No." Run that movie.
Did you make him run it? Shut up, really?
They didn't, but I thought about it.
That's like, really funny if they did. But here's the thing. Like that I think Watchmen was actually a Herculean task, and I think he kind of got it right. Like I actually really like Watchmen. But I will agree with you on just about everything else. Like Watchmen's almost like a bad case because it's like it's almost impossible to do.
The material itself was ready for him. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a lot to do with it, but you can say the same thing about Man of Steel, right?
Yeah, Man of Steel, geez.
So I love this question because there's this actor that always sticks out to me as having done nothing but bad and this one crowning moment of great.
Okay.
And that actor is Tom Hulce.
Okay.
And Tom Hulce was in National Lampoon's Animal House, and he was the worst ever voice that Disney ever put in a film. He was Quasimodo in The Hunchback of Notre Dame. And he had these horrible supporting roles in like Parenthood and Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. He's always bad. He sucks, except he was freaking Amadeus. And he was amazing in that movie.
He was Animal House's Amadeus. That's right. He was Kroger.
Oh my gosh, that's right. I didn't know he was the voice of Quasimodo, and I would take small umbrage with that. I think that movie is fine. And
it's not a good no, watch that movie. The voice is not good. He does not do a good job.
He sounds boyish. And
well, isn't that the idea? Is this young thing? He's not supposed to sound like an ogre.
This young thing with a hump. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Sexy.
But seriously, you would not cast him to play a bum on Big Bang Theory, but he was Amadeus, and it was amazing.
And nominated for an Oscar for that.
Yeah.
Don't forget. Sheesh. But yeah, okay. He qualifies. I have a soft spot for the Quasimodo. Not that him as a character, but that movie in general.
Like Demi Moore, because she's all like...
That was a challenging Disney movie. That was a challenging Disney movie to make, I think. And I like that they made it. So I'm biased in that regard. All right, who's left? Who hasn't done one? Dunaway.
I just kind of threw out Billy Bob Thornton because I think Sling Blade, the original as well as the extra crispy one with John Ritter. That's how I got to this point to begin with, talking about John Ritter. I was thinking about it because he directed the original short film, Sling Blade, and then he did the full feature length. And he hasn't really done anything else. He's done a couple other small
movies. Have you not seen the Fargo TV show?
Or The Man Who Wasn't There? Or about 1,000. He's good.
Those movies are crap.
Friday Night Lights
compared to Sling Blade. Friday Night Lights. I don't watch that crap either. I live that. I live that crap here in South Carolina. I don't watch that.
So of the two things you've seen him in, then
I just don't know what to think about Billy Bob Thornton. Like what? Like you get the feeling that he's a great actor in there somewhere, but that he's also a maniac that people are afraid of.
Oh, A Simple Plan. I forgot about that one too.
Yeah, he's been in some really Bandits. Have you guys seen Bandits?
Yeah.
He's great in Bandits.
Willis one, right?
Yeah.
Like over here. You
know, he plays someone with multiple mental conditions, or maybe who's pretending to have different conditions.
Right.
He's a pretty good actor.
Yeah.
Like all around.
He's a great actor.
Armageddon. Even he's good in The Man Who Wasn't There. He's freaking great in.
Mm-hmm. No, so we're saying that they. I thought we were talking about just really good at one thing and then sucked it. So we're not talking about that because as an actor,
we are talking about that.
No, I'm like Michael Madsen in Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah,
and then you look at any other Michael Madsen.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Look at any other Michael Madsen and you'll wish he wasn't in the film.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Oh, well, wait a minute. Wasn't he in another Tarantino thing and it was all right?
Kill Bill.
And he was horrible.
Was he bad? I don't remember.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, he's basically the same character in both.
That's true, but you kind of want, when you see him, he has a look about him that makes you want to like him. Like there's
really?
Yeah, I think so.
Dude,
I think he's
was he in
mobster looking
Candyman? We saw him in something else.
Yeah,
Species?
It was in
I want him to be in Candyman. Was he one of the cops? He seems like he could be in any of those movies.
He does, doesn't he?
I'm going to look it
up. Oh, my God. Look at how many freaking movies has Michael Madsen been in? 243.
Yeah, how many you've heard of those? The real hard bit.
Right.
I'm going to try to see if... Can we search Complete Actors List? Here you go. All right. Most sacked, according to Complete Actors Guild. Who are we looking for here?
Michael Madsen.
All right.
A War Games he was in.
Okay, Michael Madsen has been in two films. He was in...
What?
Blood Rain, and War Games. So there
we
you go.
We have a serious Michael Madsen deficiency.
We do.
I kind of agree. And man, was Blood Rain, seriously, RoboCop 2 is better than Blood Rain. I'm saying it.
Yeah.
I'm saying that right now.
Oh, The Getaway. I forgot about The Getaway with Baldwin and, oh man.
Well, we have left. We have
he
gone
was
far.
In Species. I guess we just haven't seen that Species.
Yeah. We've gone far afield of the RoboCop 2 discussion, but nonetheless, and notwithstanding, I like these kinds of veering offs that we do.
Oh, how funny. I think he's in all of the Species that we didn't see.
All the other ones.
Those all have, there's a lot of boobs in those movies. I've noticed. Yeah. Maybe we should see another one is all I'm saying. the RoboCop scene where he tells the guy thanks for not smoking and shoots all the holes around him?
Yeah.
Right.
I was sure I had seen commercials right around this era, 89, 90, something like that. Commercials that were anti-smoking commercials that feature RoboCop doing something similar. And after seeing that scene, I thought, I'm going to go check this out. That is the scene that they literally lifted from the scene and made a bunch of non-smoking PSAs out of. They're all over YouTube.
Right.
Really, and like the show it before the theater, like
no smoking.
Turn off your cell phone stuff.
Yeah, or even on TV. I guess they showed it a lot on local stations in Detroit around that time because, you know, RoboCop is a Detroit thing and they get all excited, I suppose. I don't know why. Those movies make Detroit look like such a shithole. I don't know why they get excited, but they do.
In the world of the Alamo Drafthouse, there's a pretty famous commercial that they run where there's a guy talking in the theater and the projectionist pulls out a sniper rifle and shoots him.
Oh my gosh, really?
They've got some great ones. They have a series of them. Like there's one with the Muppets that's really funny, and then there's one that's like a series of texts.
Wait, so does the Muppets catch on fire or something? Because that I would like to see Fozzie Bear catch on fire.
No, it's just them like
falling asleep smoking a cigarette or something. That I would watch.
Yeah, that'd be all right. That'd be all right.
Waka, waka, waka.
Waka, waka. This RoboCop suit in this film, a little trivia for you, was constructed purely of fiberglass this time around. This allowed Peter Weller far more freedom in terms of movement, gave the suit a more metallic look. I would like to state for the record, it gave it a real plastic-ass look. I don't think it looked like metal at all to me.
And it was blue. That was a big deal back in the day.
Mm.
Now, not
like
so much.
Not just blue, but like iridescent blue. Like
baby blue.
Yeah, weird.
Right.
It was weird. It kind of had a pink-purple kind of hue going on, and I didn't like it. It felt fake to me the entire time. I thought
they spent big bucks in the first one, like $1 million for the RoboCop suit. So I guess when we got to this one, they were like, "Nah, we're not doing that."
What was the first one made out of?
Aluminum or something? I don't know.
They were made out of leftover DeLoreans. It was fantastic.
I want to say it was a metal though. I don't know what metal.
It was super heavy. Whatever it was,
and he had a hard time moving around in it.
Weller complained the whole time.
Yeah, I seriously feel like, you know, the way to defeat RoboCop is to just put a wall, like a foot and a half high wall around him. And he's jumped over that.
Here's one of my favorite things about the movie. It wasn't all that hidden if you look for it, but the point of view shots from RoboCop, his UI view is all MS-DOS stuff.
Yeah.
The villain Kane has the Apple OS interface.
Right, Chicago font.
Yeah, the little skull instead of the Apple logo in the corner.
Too bad there wasn't an undo.
That's great. That's great.
Anytime you jump into Weller Vision, I'm just like, he doesn't really look around much.
Weller Vision. I like that, dude. Beep, beep,
beep, beep. Seriously, he doesn't look around much. Like, if you just take the dog for a walk, I promise you, you look around a lot more than this guy.
Yeah.
I don't
understand how he can do his job not looking around.
And how often does a stupid directive come up? I mean, he pulls it up like constantly. It's like little.
Well, in this one, he had none, right? Like that was a big deal the first one because he couldn't shoot red because he was part of the OCP. And in this one, he lost them all, or they were all
when OCP had reprogrammed him, he came back and he zapped himself out in front of the police station, then all of his directives disappeared. But he still couldn't kill the little newsy kid. Why not?
Mm. I don't know, because if he just shot that kid at the beginning of the movie, it's a totally it's a totally moot point.
Yeah, it's a wash. You're done. You're out. You don't have to do anything else. Yeah.
I'm sorry, but there needs to be conditions under which your programming allows you to shoot kids. It sounds horrible.
Yeah.
It sounds freaking horrible. But
but when the kid's like that, I mean, you got your directive needs to go, unless the kid's like this. And then
the douche directive. Yeah, if you got the douche directive in there, it overrides.
You know what? Let's just play it now, because here it is. I don't like movies where they twist it into making it seem probable that a 9 to 10 year old has taken charge of anything in the criminal underground. I can't stand it.
Not in the middle of my sci-fi.
Yeah. Or a coach has somehow trained his little leaguers to rob electronics stores. Like those, I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to be as outrageous. See, this is where they failed compared to the first movie. The first movie, those commercials felt like real satire, real farcical satire to me. Biting and well-made and all that. This was just like, well, let's do some of that. And then whoever was in charge of that just had bad ideas. It was just like, wouldn't
let's
it be funny?
Let's get Lisa Gibbons
if,
from Entertainment Tonight on here. Let's
wouldn't it be funny if this car electrocuted a guy if he robbed it? Ha, ha, ha. That's a real hoot. And then later it's like, you know, what if, what was one of the other commercials? They were all so bad.
Yeah.
And that was such a great.
Oh, the sunscreen, the 500 SPF.
Like, who would ever put this much goop on them? Nobody. That's funny. Put that in.
That's so funny.
They missed
the
point.
By the way, who's that actress, too? Because that's
another
one that we've seen a lot.
The one that put the goop on her?
Yeah.
Oh, I have
the
no
goop
idea.
On her. She was a model, right? And she, and that commercial fell flat for me. But you didn't like the first one where they used the lethal force to kill somebody?
Look, here, I'll play it. I'll play it for you, okay? Just for funds. Let's just do it now. May as well. All right, here you go.
Magnavolt, the final word in auto security. No embarrassing alarm noise. No need to trouble the police. And it won't even run down your battery.
It's just dumb. It's bad.
That's not bad. That's
it's like, hey, a thing that'll electrocute you.
That's the guy who played the Donald Trump, the fake Donald Trump in the second Gremlins movie.
That's right. He was also the Lex Luthor's father in the Smallville series.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. He was much older then, but yeah. He's all right. I mean, I thought he'd be in there longer. Honestly, I saw him and went, oh, we'll have him for a while. Nope. One commercial, you're out. what else? There's some other cool things. So despite all that interface stuff, a Commodore Amiga was in charge of all the special effects in the film, which some of which weren't too bad. Like,
I have a hard time. I mean, I remember Commodore Amigas.
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing cool that stuff. They used one of those to do the.
They could do some really cool, like, green screeny stuff. They could do some pretty wicked particle effects type thing.
You're not talking about the actual stop motion part, right?
That's just straight up stop motion.
I remembered who the woman is that does the sunscreen. Mm. Well, I found it actually in Austin Powers. She's a lot of vagina.
Nice.
Well, I hardly recognize her with that 4 inches of blue goop on her. And then what else? Oh, Frank Miller, of course, he's one of the screenwriters here. He played the chemist who made the nuke drug for Kane. So there's that. Mm. Ended up dying, I guess. Blew up in the thing.
Did a pretty good job.
Did you guys feel like he acted more robot-ish than he did in the old one?
Yeah.
Especially after the breaking point. Like when they bring in, what's her name? Mm-hmm. And they do face-to-face across the fence.
Yeah.
You mean Fax? Or are you talking about the wife?
The wife.
Right. Forgetting her name. But like up until that point, I'm feeling like, oh, okay, so he's got a little bit of emotion going. Nope. As soon as he starts talking to her, it's as robotic as he can possibly.
Yeah, and like, the movements, they just felt like more.
Well, I think that was robot-y. Intentionally, right? Because he was basically losing his humanity that he was trying to recover.
Yeah,
I think
he didn't have it in the first movie either.
For,
is my point. The first movie, he didn't have that humanity either. It had been stripped of him then, and he, I don't know. There was something about the way he moved in the first movie that was both affecting because you knew this was half human or part human, and it was kind of sad in a way, but then also there was this kind of badass sort of automation to what he was doing, and they'd lost that this time.
I love when he came back after being programmed by the OCP, and he was standing in the office, and he was Chipper RoboCop,
yeah,
and
going,
he was
what a beautiful day. We don't want to waste it by not going outside.
Right. I'd like nothing more than to go bust some criminals.
He kept throwing his arms up in the air and looking all happy.
That was great. Flanders. He was flexing. Was that before or after he got torn apart? I don't remember now.
That was after.
Yeah, because they had put them back together and sent the OCC.
I want to throw a rock into the happy space for how much I really did like the animatronic torso and head. It was obviously fake, and the way the eyes moved were creepy as hell and all kinds of uncanny valley, but I think that worked in the film's favor. So whoever did those effects, I thought that stuff was pretty good.
I agree. I think if they had had that the entire time, I think it would have been even more effective because he really didn't feel human at that point.
Yeah.
It felt weird.
Right. Yeah.
I liked it.
Really weird.
Why does RoboCop need a police car? Shouldn't he have like a motorcycle? Because I loved it when he got on the motorcycle. It felt so stupid when he was riding around.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have that. They wouldn't have that awesome Ford deal. They wouldn't get all that money from Ford.
He has to weigh like how much does he weigh?
Horrible car.
Right. How much does he? How much does he weigh?
It's a Taurus. Those things are shit. Right.
I don't understand. Why is he in such a piece of crap?
Would be shot.
Admittedly, I would put him in a piece of crap too if you saw how the criminals treat him.
Yeah.
Like. The first thing he just drives down the street. They all start shooting at his car. So yeah, it should be a bad car.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're. My feeling was the black tires and the dirty finishes and all that stuff were just to say, look, this is the fleet that the Detroit police have, and he's in the same car as they are. But it's Ford as all hell and back everywhere you look. And so to me, it's just more product placement in the end.
It took me out of the movie though because I was literally sitting there going. He has to weigh at least a ton. And if you put a ton in the front of a Taurus on the driver's side, that thing is going to be all kinds of leaning. And I was just like, just put on my motorcycle. Explain it. It's easy.
In reality, wouldn't your ultimate RoboCop be some sort of helicopter?
That would be pretty. I thought about that. Then I thought, no, I'm going for Go-Go Gadget if I do that because he has a little propeller prop. That would be bad.
Right. But like, that's what I mean. Like, a small, like a drone, basically. Yeah. A drone, robo-drone.
I agree. Put his brain in the drone.
Like a brain flying around.
Why not?
Well, that's true. Yeah, and just have a wireless little connection to the rest of them.
That freaking eyeball brain that they turned the nuke guy into. What the crap?
Oh,
dude.
Right.
What the hell?
And the fact that he could still look out and it was looking at its face.
Yeah.
The guy's holding my face.
That's so
the
bad.
The terror that is still existing outside of your body is always that's a fun fear to play with. I think Metallica does it in their one video, the one where he's supposed to be like after a war accident.
Oh,
he's like in a coma, but he's aware of everything that's going around.
Not Unforgiven.
It's one, right? Isn't that the name of the song?
One. Nah, 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 nah,
the thing is, Scott.
I can't. I don't know. I think I'm dead wrong. I can't remember the name. No, Brian might know.
Seeing that the whole like video screen with him on it once they plugged his little brain into that robot had very Lawnmower Man kind of feel to it.
It totally did.
Well, it was about the same era, right? A little bit before, in fact.
And I mean, please agree with me that the production quality of this film is just low.
It's pretty low.
It's like Howard the Duck kind of cityscapes.
I agree. I actually thought some of the camera work, like actual quality of film, was okay. Like that part seemed good to me. If anything, it exposed how cheap everything was in the shots. I couldn't get away from this weird feeling that some of the wide shots looked pretty good.
This is exactly what happens not the same when you as good hire production. Yeah. A man that is around 77 to direct a sci-fi futuristic movie.
You're an
that
ageist.
Is supposed to peak. Well, I'm not really an ageist. I'm just saying that once you get to that age, you're kind of disconnected.
But,
from,
what do I care about the future and what
but
it's going to
about? I'm talking right? about production quality. And the
I
director,
hope I am disconnected when I'm 77. Right. Go ahead.
Admittedly, the director could point at something and go, okay, we just got a shot. I'm looking at dailies. We just got a shot where some squibs go off and you idiots loaded them up with sparklers. And that's just weird.
Yeah.
You need to go back and make that look more real.
Yeah.
But usually he doesn't. He's more concerned about, do the lines sound the way I want them to sound? And was the lighting good? And every little thing. Like I never felt like the guns were real. How hard is it to
the guns weren't real? It's a movie.
Yeah, no, I know what Randy's saying. They were like blue painted, hodgepodgey looking. Yeah, they were bad. I mean, some of the guns looked okay, but you're not wrong. The thing the kid was shooting, that freaking, you know,
Tommy gun,
maroon looking Tommy gun. It was terrible.
Yeah,
yeah, all that kind of stuff. I thought the effects were okay. I actually think the stop motion stuff was all right, especially the end. I think that was for stop motion. I mean, pre-CGI world, not that bad.
We're on the very tail end of any stop motion. Yeah. I mean, it very, very tail end.
It didn't look too bad. Like it looked kind of okay, well made. I mean, yes, it's always shitty in the end, but it still looked better than, you know, RoboCop 1, for example.
the RoboCop 2 slash drug dealer edition, the one that runs up the elevator shaft after RoboCop like cuts him and the elevator plunges and he comes chasing up that shaft. That was the first scene that impacted me when they had commercials for that for RoboCop 2 back in 1989 or whatever. I remember seeing that thing crawling up that elevator shaft and it really freaked me out and made me want to see this movie. Mm-hmm. And it was because of that, you know, that weirdness that is stop motion. It just seemed so effective.
Mm. Okay. All right. Let's go. Come on. It is the worst thing in the movie. Every the time motion? You see another robot.
Oh yeah.
Every
no, time. You're totally right. Yeah.
Except for the one that pulls his head off and has got the skull and he's screaming. I want to watch all of that.
In this time frame, did we go to the movies and we thought this was okay?
I think so. Because that's the best we had. I mean, nobody was... This is pre-Jurassic Park. This is pre-any kind of CGI that was believable. I think this was just your method. And, you know, Star Wars did it best. You know, speaking of some of the best stop motion in the history of film, Empire Strikes Back, another film directed by this dude. You know, the Hothstein scene holds up. The Hothstein sounds like a cow. Hothstein. A cow breed. but that holds up here. It doesn't. And you're totally right. As soon as it happens, especially now, you just go, ooh, this is going to be rough. And it's not to the point yet that it was, say, to me, it's like going back to 8-bit games. You're comfortable doing that. That's like going back to Harryhausen. That's comfortable. Mm-hmm. Because at the time it's like, I don't know, there's something special going on with Harryhausen. It's so ahead of his time. It's still shitty stop motion, but going to like RoboCop 2 is a bit like going PlayStation 1 and getting nostalgic about that. You kind of don't, because it was shitty.
Okay, so I can't help but wonder, when you have this choice to make, we have to have these other robots, we have to shoot them doing these certain things, and the choice is stop motion or puppetry. Is it that you can't make a puppet look real enough as a robot? Is robotics hard to puppet, or is it just very, very expensive to do it that way?
Probably some of both. Right. I'm guessing.
I'm trying to think of any alternate movies with robots during that time, and it's really hard to think of anything that even comes that tried to come to the level of what we're seeing here.
Well, I mean, if you go, despite all their other shortcomings, watch one of those Transformers movie and realize what we can do with needing something to look like a big mechanical heavy beast. And man, we've come a billion miles from where this was. But before then, you're right. I can't really think of too many. I mean, Terminator 1 is laughable garbage at the end.
Oh, it is.
It's bad stop motion. It's junior high level stuff. It's really, really poor. Right.
But then as we've seen Terminator 2, we're far enough along with CG that it gets real good.
Yeah.
It's nice.
I think so. I don't know. It's a hard call to make. Like, but a lot of films just straight up decide not to do it. Like, well, I guess we can't do a big, huge ship or a walking walker or whatever.
But Terminator 2 had tens of millions of dollars more budget for that kind of thing than this one.
That's a good point.
Right.
Yeah. And Star Wars, for its to its credit, chose the right scenes for that stuff. Like, where it was weakest was a Tauntaun with Luke on it. You know? Yeah. That looks bad.
Oh, yeah.
But where it was strong were these big, mechanical, very slow-moving giant walkers out in the middle of the snow with superimposed ships that were shot smoothly, and the effect worked. But I don't know. I always think those are such interesting choices. And today, the choice is not so much there. It's all about, well, how far do you want to go? Do you want to go that it look, you know, Clash of the Titans good? Or do you want to go, you know, Weta Studios, Lord of the Rings, Legolas can climb on anything good? Or, you know, I guess that's the choice. Actually, that drives me nuts, too. We've gone too far with CGI. Let's take it back somewhere else. Let's go somewhere else.
You can't make it look so realistic yet show something so impossible. You know, it's the same thing as showing something fake looking that could happen.
Sure. It creates this weird cognitive dissonance when you see him doing that and going, that looks like Legolas and the physics look right, but there's no way a human being could do that. So F y'all, I'm not watching the scene again. That sucked.
Things that take you out of the movie. That's a big thing. Also that took me out of the movie was during the disassemble of RoboCop.
Disassemble.
When they were disassembling him. And the kids were, and they were like trying to figure out how to get to his brain.
Yeah.
And they were like taking his legs off. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Look at his jaw.
Get a mouth
is completely
hole.
Exposed. Just go through there. It's just flesh.
Just, the thing that will stick with me forever about this movie, after I've forgotten everything else, it will be the scenes where he keeps regaining consciousness in the middle of them trying to break him open.
Like, right.
That there's something about that sequence that's very funny. Memorable. Mm-hmm. And there's some really stupid stuff in there, like using a jackhammer. It's the dumbest thing ever.
It's stupid, but there's also something about it that's really sadistic and really creepy. And also the way the video cuts in and out and his memory mm-hmm. is scattered, like that stuff's okay. And they did it in the first one too, when he was first waking up after he was being killed, and he was waking up as RoboCop for the first time, and he's got Miguel, what's his name there?
Ferrer.
Yeah, Miguel Ferrer. They're looking at his, trying to see if he's working or not. And that's the same
thing.
It
comes in and out. Yeah.
Yeah. Really good. That.
Right. Right.
In fact, I wrote that down
here. That goes back to what I felt like they really humanized him. You could really relate.
Mm-hmm. Less here, more in the first one. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, when they killed Samwise Gamgee in the same way, he didn't have like that, you know, where he was popping in and out.
What's
the cop?
What? Who?
The cop that I always think
it
is
wasn't
Sam Wendell. Right?
Yeah.
When I first see him, it's not. But every time when I first see him, I'm like,
kind of doesn't look
like
him, though.
I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Wait a minute.
Duffy,
he's way too
or
tall.
What was the guy's name?
Oh, does he have a name? I mean, a recognizable name?
Is it Duffy or something like that? What is it?
I feel like it was Duffy or something along those lines.
The Duff, Hillary Duff.
Yes, it was Hillary Duff.
Julie
so Hillary Duffy,
Duff
is
no?
being disassembled okay. in the movie, and he's like remembering
Duffy.
It.
Yeah, it is Duffy. Stephen Lee.
Stephen Lee?
Stephen Lee. He was in The Negotiator. He was also in War Games.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. War Games connections, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Daryl, start doing War Games connections. Actually, the Star Trek connection list on this is ridiculously big. We'll get to that later. Sure. Oh, gosh, what else? Why is the nuke being injected behind the jawbone? Why can't you put that someplace else?
I don't know.
I hate movie
super
drugs.
Close to your brain.
Movie future drugs always do stupid stuff like this. Why does Tom Cruise have to suck it out of a nipple? Why does this happen? Why did it? What was another one? Like, they're always like this, though. It's always in some weird part of the body or something.
Made me think of South Park, because South Park, you'd have to put it in the butt or something.
Right. Right.
We need a drug
thing.
You shoot directly into your eyeball, because no one is going to use that. There's probably a drug, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell me.
Probably.
But you shoot through your eyeball. Probably is.
Probably is somewhere. I know that. Okay.
What was?
Go ahead.
What was the I was trying to understand. I understood they were trying to make, you know, these designer drugs, and some of them were, you know, supposed to make you feel a certain way. And one of them was Velvet Blue or something. It was a direct tie-in to the Elvis stuff. I guess they had sold. So I guess they're crushing up parts of Elvis or something and putting in the drug.
Putting parts of Elvis in the drug, really?
Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't get that.
Do you remember Elvis? You saw Elvis.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. But I couldn't figure out what the reference was.
That's what I was trying
to figure out too.
It was just like they just had a weird collection of shit.
They did, but they
specifically.
Why would
going
they care
for...
if there's a picture of him then right next to it? Like,
yeah, it's weird, dude. And the big glass, big glass ding dong. What was that for? What was that supposed
That's
to tell
what
me?
I was wondering about.
Oh,
what was
yeah,
because
the music
lingered.
They did, and there was a music cue. I'm glad you brought that up. Right. I was wondering that. I thought, oh, all right, well, this will come back later. No, never did.
So this will be our new Crystal Temple of the Chick in the Bucket, because I didn't understand why it was so important to show it, and I hope someone can tell us what
Crystal
it
Ding Dong in a Bucket.
Yeah,
Crystal Ding Dong.
Freaking bonkers. I didn't get any of that. And none of that made sense to me. If they're really putting parts of Elvis in all their drugs, that's almost awesome, but they didn't ever mention it.
No, they didn't say that, but I thought it was that's where my brain went. I was like, okay, they got that Elvis memorabilia, and then they specifically were talking about the Blue Velvet later on. They were talking how it's supposed to chill you or something like that, or make you smooth. I don't know.
Well, I think now would be a good time for us to do clips, because I have a ton of them.
Can mm-hmm. I just hit one trope before we
Of course
we
you
move
can.
On?
Of course. Here you go.
I brought this up before. I think I mentioned it in when we covered RoboCop, and we've actually seen it in a bunch of films. I love the trope of shooting the hostage taker in the head. It is
oh yeah,
it is so ridiculous.
Who was the hostage taker, Randy?
Was it a famous person we should know?
Was it Randy Quaid who was the hostage taker there?
No.
What
was it Randy Quaid who was
No.
Not in this.
No.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, that wasn't Randy Quaid standing there.
It wasn't.
Onto the kid's head.
No matter
Are you
how,
sure?
No matter how high your voice goes, it wasn't Randy.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I'm looking it up.
He was a little skinnier guy than Randy Quaid.
Yeah,
he's not in it. I looked it up.
I could have swore. Like for a second, I was like, "Is that Randy Quaid?"
Yeah,
I'm like, get out of here.
That wasn't Randy Quaid. That was somebody else. But I like the
I
way
love
you
this
think.
Trope. In the first movie, they actually skirt the trope RoboCop shoots a guy between the legs. He shoots a guy in the groin. Mm-hmm. The hostage taker.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
But in this one, oh my gosh, he does a ricochet shot. Like, mm-hmm. and you see it. You see it coming. They telegraph it. Like, you see him mm-hmm. line it up. It's just, wow. What?
That is fun to. I'm with you. That's a great trope.
Yeah. There's some really good examples. It's in The Fugitive. It's in The Fifth Element. It's in Taken. The first Taken. I'm saying that like we've been talking about Taken, but I realize we talked about it in, before the show.
Pre-show, yeah.
don't go see Taken 3. I'm just making sure you know.
All right. But they did the really clever. They did the really clever backwards 3.
Oh,
the,
I know. I love when there's a 3 in the a number in the title. Name of the movie.
It's adorbs. We didn't even talk about Ton Noonan. We'll do that in the clips. But that guy.
Okay.
He's a molester or something. For nice. Like not for all real, could, but that may as well be who he
was. Last
action hero. Yeah,
yeah.
To me, he is a bargain basement combo of John Malkovich and Steve Buscemi.
He's I don't know. There is a creepiness about him.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, he's weird. That's why I always say I would never. Like, I'm sure he's the nicest guy in the world, but you see him creeping around a park, I'd be freaked out. Because he is a weird dude.
And I don't even know. I can't even put my finger on what about him makes him so creepy. Like, is it the eyes or the you know, is he just lanky, tall, goofy looking? I don't know.
Oh, and I forgot how much I liked him in Hell on Wheels, that Western series that's still going. Mm. I forgot that was even him. He's great in that. So if you're looking for a place to find him that's also equally creepy but also really good, he's in that. I don't know that he was used that well here. He delivered his lines in ways that made me think that he wasn't given a lot of info before he got in there. But we'll get to that in a second. In fact, here's some clips. Let's start with this one. It's about, this sounds like Fox News. This is maybe the most sarcastic moment of the news parts.
Environmentalists call it a disaster.
But don't they always?
Oh, Lisa Gibbons. Don't they always?
Don't they always?
Very Fox
News. She might win Celebrity Apprentice tomorrow night. It's her and Geraldo.
Whoa.
What?
Duking it out to be the next Celebrity Apprentice.
Are you watching that show? Is that a thing you watch?
Kind of watching that, okay, yeah.
Brian's watching that.
We've missed a few episodes and we haven't bothered to go like Hulu or something.
You said Geraldo as in Rivera?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. He
is in the 50-year-old
really,
stud?
They're really stretching the word celebrity for this thing.
Don't they always for these things? I feel like they really do. All right, here's the nuke leader. So here he is.
People want paradise. And they will have it.
Oh, wow, dude. You're just...
Give me a moment.
Yeah, see, that's just... I don't think he knew what he was supposed to do. I think they just said...
I think that he's just trying to play a... the soft-spoken...
Yeah, mastermind.
Scary, creepy cult bad leader. Guy. I guess, yeah.
Here's a struggle in the streets.
Hold it! Oh, you put my eye out, bitches!
There you go. That's what the...
put my eye out!
With the hookers there. What's this?
Nuke.
Oh, the robot. It's him. It's Peter Weller saying nuke.
Nuke.
I like the way he says
nuke.
It.
Nuke.
He's saying it to himself. So he's for some reason talking to himself as he grabs the nuke out of the car and realizes like, oh, there's a bunch of this stuff all over the seat. Right. By the way, good use for recycling all those empty cassette tape shelves.
Agreed.
Totally.
Agreed. That was awesome.
Loved it.
That's what they were.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you tell? I mean, as soon as he opened that thing up, I was like, oh,
goes
my
to Randy's,
ears just went back 20 years.
Yeah, and it goes to Randy's point about cheap production. I mean, there were a lot of weird props like that. We were like, oh, that's a thing I could buy at the hardware store. All right, here's what's this?
Nope,
same one. Sorry. Here's another one.
Nope.
This sounds like a scene in all RoboCop films. Okay, so I'm going to play it now, and this is 9 seconds of every RoboCop film sounds like this to me.
Freeze. Nobody move. This is a bust.
That's just RoboCop.
Did he just shoot the baby?
No, the baby lives.
The baby was a chicken.
The baby was a chicken. My Smash callback.
I've been watching MASH since it's been on Netflix, and all I can think about is getting to the chicken episode, which is, what, 11 years later?
Last one.
It's the finale.
Oh, my gosh. My kids are hooked. They love it.
So, like so many people, I've been watching Friends, and I just have to say the best thing about Friends is the duck and the chicken.
How come it has such a low rating on Netflix, by the way? It's got like a star. What's going on with that? Are they missing episodes or something? Or
it's usually that's when it gets stars like that, it's just because of something like, oh, they cut us scenes or something weird.
Yeah,
who knows?
Like these aren't original soundtracks or...
Yeah, it's not a comment on the show itself. It's more like a comment on Netflix's distribution of it. Of, yeah. Right.
I don't see it. I mean, I've watched 100 episodes in the last couple months, and whatever. Hey. It's not. It's Friends.
Whatever
floats
your boat. Whatever
floats your boat. There's anything missing.
But it's entertaining.
But the chicken and the duck, man. They're like, give me a TV show where there's barnyard fowl, and I'm there.
All right, here we go.
I've got Green Acres for you to watch.
But okay. no love for Marcel the monkey, huh?
No,
well, he's in like
that.
Two.
That
he's
so
in two
stupid.
Episodes. He's
a linchpin in one of them, though.
I'm glad they got rid of the season one Marcel monkey crap.
Yeah. Really, right.
Exactly. You guys are talking about things I have no relationship with because I hate that show so much. So I don't even know what you're talking about.
On I'll have you know, on IMDb, it's got a 9.0.
Well, that's IMDb is written by crazy.
No,
people,
that just
so.
Says it was made in the 90s.
Right. That's a
9. Sorry, they have the decimal in the wrong spot.
Yeah, what's the why does Breaking Bad only have a 20? That's crazy. Yeah, this is a topic for a different day, but I just can't get my head around Friends. All right,
here to make Scott watch an episode of Friends for film.
Yeah, all right, I'll do it. Yeah. I'll do it.
I know just the episode too. So.
See anything from season one?
It's the one where the alien comes down and
you're right.
Probes Joey.
Probes Joey. Parking the side of the road and
it's
fall
the one
asleep.
With the Harlem Globetrotter.
Oh yeah. Yeah, my favorites. All right, are you human?
OCP defines you as a machine. Utilizes some living tissue. You understand that?
Yes.
And so, do you consider yourself human? I require an answer.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. Yes.
Oh. Will yes. a robot stalk his wife?
Yes.
Here, ask me some questions, guys.
Probably.
Ask me anything you want. Ask me. Just any question, anything you want.
How do you tinkle?
Yes.
Yes.
No, that's a yes or no question.
Yeah, they're yes or no's.
Oh, that's nice. Hey, Scott, what's the fastest way to St. George?
Yes.
That's it.
Okay. All right, thanks.
What was your favorite group of the 80s?
Yes.
The 70s and 80s.
Yes.
Nice. Good job.
Would you buy that for $1?
Yes.
All right, great.
Who's the band that did Owner of a Lonely Heart?
Yes.
Wow. He is kind of nailing it.
Yeah, he
sheesh.
Really is.
All right, well, here's a deep acting, some deep, deep acting.
Are you Alex Murphy?
No.
Are you human?
No.
You are simply a machine.
No. I am a machine.
Oh, nothing more.
Nothing more.
I am a machine.
Oh. I am a machine. I was not programmed to love.
Did an Eeyore thing there. Oh, bother.
Oh, it was like a minute later, they bring his wife in. I imagine this is not something you have a clip of because it was mostly visual.
Yeah.
And she's like, What's going on? I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And he says, "Touch me." And she immediately like sticks her fingers into his mouth.
Yeah, right, yeah, like right there.
Like, there's a lot of other places you could touch him. And
where you think, Brian? Where else could you touch him at? Where else could you touch the robo?
The forehead, the cheek, right, the nose.
Yeah, he pinches his nose.
Only his fleshy bits.
Yes,
his fleshy bits.
Would you like me to touch you here?
Yes.
All right, like this.
Yes.
Oh, how much more?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
All right.
So you didn't capture him going no.
No, I did. Oh. I should have. I can still.
You just did. You had it.
Well,
right
the whole
there,
thing. I just haven't. I just haven't taken it out.
Okay.
Made it itself. All right. Here's we don't expect to pay something.
We don't expect you to pay.
Oh, I like this guy's voice. The guy in the first movie that said, "What's your name, son?" Officer Murphy. It's that guy.
We don't expect you to pay.
He's now the bad guy, I guess, in the third one. At least that
was
the implication.
The same guy as Sergeant Lasard from Police Academy, right? Or am I getting the different?
No.
Yeah, I don't think it is, but he is so over the top hilarious.
But you're right that he's in a movie like that where he is pissed all the time. He's like the dean in Animal House. He's not, but he's like that kind of character in something, and I can't put my finger on it.
John Engel, so he was the Surgeon General?
Correct, right?
Okay, I got to find. Let's see what else.
He looks so different in his later years.
He does, yeah.
Squishy little man. He died in 2012, by the way.
Mm.
He's known for, come on. I know this
General
is
Hospital.
He was Man with Dog in Parks and Recreation. For That's awesome.
Day wow, he's the narrator in all the Land Before Time movies.
Oh, that's cool.
Is it really, Scott?
Yeah. I like that. Let's see. All this Land Before Time stuff.
Which
Jeez.
One? Do you like the Land Before Time 1 or Land Before Time 22?
I like the first one. The rest
he
of them
was
are terrible.
The priest in the favorite TV show, Tequila and Benetti.
Mm. right? Boy, he did a lot of voice work.
Yeah.
I can't find it, but there's something like that. Someone's going to have to help us out.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
You know what I mean, though, right? Like
totally.
Where he's sternly in charge.
He was the principal in Heathers, but I don't know if that's it.
No, I don't think that's it. I never saw Heathers.
It is for me. You never saw Heathers?
No.
Really?
I know. It's a weird, it's one of those on this list of
talking about shame. A one-off director. There you go, right there, the Heathers director. Where did he go? Nowhere.
Who was it? Who directed Heathers?
I can see his stupid face. I have the Heathers
greetings and DVD. Michael Lemon.
Michael Lemon.
Yeah, I can't find it.
What else? Oh no, Michael Lemon
that's
did
it.
He directed Hudson Hawk too.
Oh,
Hudson Hawk 2.
No, I mean Hudson Hawk
as well.
Oh, okay, phew.
And Airheads. Come on, how could you say anything bad about Michael Lemon?
I'm not going to say a bad thing. I think that's amazing. All right, what do you? Here's this guy again.
We're taking Detroit private.
This guy's a cool voice, man.
Private.
Angry acting time.
You want Detroit to tear itself apart so you can rate it like you would any other corporation?
That guy was great.
So angry mayor.
He was great.
Something racist about his performance.
I agree.
He just keeps showing up. Every few scenes, he just comes walking in and doing that thing, that same thing. Over, you know,
always surviving too. Just kind of like
he seat of his pants. It sounds like Chris Rock making fun of an uncle when he was growing up.
Right, yes.
So listen to that again, just one more time.
You want Detroit to tear itself apart so you can rate it like you would any other corporation?
It sounds like Chris Rock just fake doing his uncle's voice.
What did he call him? He kept calling him the old man or something, or old.
Well, here's even more. Here's more.
Bullshit! Bullshit, you senile old bastard!
That's
bullshit! All
right.
Here's an interesting piece of trivia. Since he mentioned Detroit, not a single shot in this movie was filmed in Detroit, Michigan.
Wow. Is that true, the first one, too? I seem to remember us talking about that. I don't remember.
I don't remember about the first one.
I think the first one was, I think it actually was filmed in Detroit, wasn't it? Let me see.
I don't know.
I would look it up. Continue.
I thought that was almost, one of our trivias.
Almost every scene was filmed in Houston, Texas.
Oh, wow. Well, here's your final angry acting moment with the mayor.
F*** you! You senile bastard! This is bullshit!
He's the off the chain guy because he keeps telling him, I'm fine,
he
and then he goes off some more.
He sounds like someone who went to the reading of the will and found out that he was left out and didn't get anything from the dearly deceased.
Totally. Right. I had a guy yell at me like that once. It's a long story.
Wait, about frog pants?
No. This is years ago, place I used to work. Somebody thought I had told his customers that he was being fired or something. I don't even know what I was being accused of.
You're fired.
I think I've told the story on TMS, but the only part I did left out was the approach.
I do remember you.
That's how he yelled at me, which I didn't really get into because it's kind of hard to express, but it was just like that. All right, let's say the name of the movie.
It gives me great pleasure to introduce to you RoboCop 2.
Love it.
Yeah,
love
and
it.
They do it a few times too.
Yeah, where it's not just the movie RoboCop; it's got the two in there.
Right,
and that's amazing.
They're trying to convince you that they're going to do a better job even than the original RoboCop.
These days it would be called RoboCop 2.0.
Yeah.
Right. Wouldn't it? RoboCop 2000.
I still want to see that new RoboCop. I haven't seen it.
No, I haven't either. I want to see that too.
Somebody told me it was
good. I liked it.
Don't say that to Iceworm if he's listening. That guy thinks it's the worst thing ever made, but everyone
else seems
to be. I
wouldn't say it's the worst thing ever made. I think it kind of goes back to the humanity level of the original. Now, it's not nearly as much sci-fi fun, but it's all right.
It's PG-13. And, you know.
Yeah, I mean, part of what makes RoboCop good is the cheese factor, is the Miguel Ferrer and the...
Agreed.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Agreed.
And,
and we're probably not giving enough credit to Verhoeven for his weird style working really well with the first movie.
Yeah.
I remember this being the most violent film at the time that I'd ever really seen.
Two or one?
Both of them. I mean, it was just like this...
Yeah, I think
RoboCop was just super violent. It was
one
had.
There were some cringe-worthy moments in this one, but I think one really nailed it. Especially the whole when he's getting blown apart in that place by Red and his cronies.
Oh, yeah.
That's something else, man.
I have a little path I want to walk down real quick because you mentioned the new RoboCop, which has Michael Keaton in it.
Yeah,
and this is our last episode before the Oscars, which is next week. Brian Ibbett, how much do you want to see Birdman win Oscars?
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
I'd like to see Michael Keaton. Well, I would like to see him win. I'm really, really rooting for J.K. Simmons, though. Whiplash, really? So far. So we've seen 7 of the 8 Best Picture nominees. And so far, Whiplash is the movie out of all of them that has kind of stuck with me the longest as far as being very different from anything we've seen.
That's right. I can't get rid of this whiplash.
Yeah.
I liked Birdman, actually, probably out of all of them, second to Whiplash. Birdman might be up there. I think Theory of Everything we saw last night, and boy, people really need to learn how to act in movie theaters. I'll tell you about that on TMS.
Oh, good. Can't wait. Oh, that was a gem you told me about yesterday. Sweet.
Yes, exactly. Right. But go ahead.
I just want to follow up several things you just said. One, sure. I do think Michael Keaton's winning Best Actor. I think that's
he did get the Golden Globe, and that usually carries a lot of weight.
I think the Academy is determined to give Boyhood Best Picture. So sorry.
They should give Linklater Best Director for that, just because it really hinges on the
most
the gimmick
effort
that he came up with.
Yeah,
and
I think they're definitely giving him Best Director.
But as far
sure.
as I mean, it's not a great. I mean, it's a good movie. I wouldn't say it's. I wouldn't even put in the top half of the 8 Best Picture, at least of the 7 ones that I've seen.
Right. It could have been if that kid's life had turned out differently, it could have been really dramatic, right? That's kind of the risk you take.
Yeah. Well, and if that kid wouldn't have turned into such a boring philosophical douchebag.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. If something exciting had it, he kind of hedged his bets. He said, I bet you this kid's going to have an exciting life. I'm going to film everything.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go against the system and grow my hair out and complain about things because I'm a hipster. Look, I'm driving a truck and I'm not going to shave.
Go.
And, oh, okay. I can go hang out with you and go walk.
I have good news for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Good news. Michael Keaton and J.K. Simmons are in 2 different categories, so they can both win Oscars.
Oh, he's supporting. Okay, right. J.K. Simmons supporting. Good.
Yeah.
Well, then, Birdman all the way. Birdman for best actor for Keaton.
Oh, good. I'm glad you liked it that much.
Redmayne was so good in Theory of Everything, though.
Yeah, but is he doing that? Do you take points off when people play? And I don't want to. This is not meant to be insensitive, but the way Robert Downey Jr. put it in that one movie. If you're playing full, you know what I mean?
I know what you're talking about.
Do you get points off for that? Because that's a thing that's amazing and it's always good, but I always feel like there's a cheat there that happens.
Okay,
yes,
well,
because Michael
Keaton's also playing someone who's got a sort of handicap.
Well, yeah, but not in the same way. You know what I mean?
I know. I'm just saying
it's a fair point, though. I understand what you were saying. I've heard nothing but glowing things about Redmayne.
Honestly, and we've seen 4 of the 5, so we haven't seen Steve Carell and Foxcatcher, but the Best Actor nominees are Keaton for Birdman, Eddie Redmayne for The Theory of Everything, Benedict Cumberbatch for The Imitation Game, which I'd also, say is really way good. Up there. Yeah. Bradley Cooper for American Sniper, again, like really, really good performance. Saw that yesterday as well.
I enjoyed that. That was really good.
I don't know.
He really plays that redneck hick really well.
Yeah, there's so Eddie Redmayne, the thing that I think he did that was above and beyond the thing you're talking about, Scott, that I also won't repeat.
You know what I mean? I just don't have a term for it.
Going full on something.
Sure. I just want a word for it. That's all.
The way he depicts Stephen Hawking kind of struggling with this inability to say, everything is working in my head, all this stuff is working in my head. I'm just struggling with getting it out and being able to communicate and being able to do the things that I was able to do before. And,
okay.
I don't know.
A follow-up question.
Okay.
Do you feel like, Keira Knightley deserved the nomination for her role in
for
Imitation Game?
No. And who are the other, let's see.
So Meryl Streep, Into the Woods, Emma Stone from Birdman, also a questionable. Do you feel like she deserved a nomination for Best Supporting Actress? Patricia Arquette is going away with it in that category.
Why am I seeing? Oh, for you're talking about Best Supporting. I'm sorry. Yeah. I was looking at Best Actress. Yeah. By the way, I would give Best Actress to, I haven't seen Julianne Moore and Reese Witherspoon or Marion Cotillard, but I would give it to Rosamund Pike for Gone Girl, because that was a steely, cold performance that you think is cold because she's not a good actor until you realize what's going on.
Can you go back in time and give it to June Squibb for Nebraska because she was robbed?
She was awesome. All right, so let me see. So who do we got for best supporting? Squibb. Sorry.
That would be Patricia Arquette is going to win, without a doubt. And then Laura Dern, Keira Knightley, Emma Stone, and Meryl Streep.
Yeah, yeah, I'd say between all those, I'd say Patricia Arquette was my favorite thing about Boyhood, because I do think she was good. And I saw a lot of the same stuff that she was doing in the film. I saw my mom go through all that same stuff, raising me, you know, being a single mom, trying to balance working a job and being a mom and getting an apartment and all that stuff that I saw in her.
But were you able to watch Boyhood and her in Boyhood without even once thinking, gosh, I wish she'd just turn on her psychic powers to understand what's going on in the wide world?
With the whole medium thing? No, yeah. I didn't think that. No, we did say, we did joke that she's gone from a medium to a large.
I know, I remember that joke.
That's terrible.
It's a horrible joke.
All right. Well, we have now... Okay. We now veer back in.
I didn't say extra large. I said a large.
No, it's all good.
It's not horrible.
It's all good. Where are we now? I don't even know. Oh, how about this? Here you go.
Robots with emotional problems.
No, sir. Not robots. Cyborgs.
Not robots.
I was hoping robots. You'd get some robots in there.
Yeah. Get the old people out. Have them say robot. All right. Here's what?
Isn't this a school day?
Oh, yeah. Where he's at the arcade.
He sounds a little bit like he's rapping with the music behind him.
Well, let's try that again.
Isn't this a school day?
Isn't this a school day? Yo.
I'm glad that Brian hadn't heard that before, because it really does.
That's hilarious. Awesome.
It's a little bit like a Russian rapper.
We need the Gregory Brothers to do some work with that.
How about we go like this?
Isn't this a school day?
Yes.
And then put the yes in there.
You've already written it for him. You've done all the work.
All right, here's some weird, varied voice acting.
Where is Kane?
I told you, I don't know!
That's just so not RoboCop. Right. You know, where is Kane?
Right. He's supposed to be emotionless. He's a robot.
Mm-hmm. Jesus had days like this.
Jesus had days like this.
There you go. I just repeated what I said.
That's one of our favorite things is when you actually say
when
the whole
I say
thing
the name the of the clip, is gonna All right, how about this one? This is some groaning while he's getting taken apart.
Let's get him inside.
I got you guys just in. I got a clip from Ibbitt's girlfriend in high school. One of his girlfriends sent this in, and this says this of Ibbitt.
I know every inch of him.
Okay, great.
Nice.
Great.
Wow.
Great. Great.
She's glad to see there's a positive one every once in a while.
She's a little forward there, Brian. A little forward.
That was a really creepy way of saying that, though. Like,
yeah, wasn't it?
I know every inch of RoboCop. Yeah.
I know every inch of him.
Him.
All right.
Every piston, every circuit.
Something about a favor.
If you don't fix him, it's murder.
Now settle down, honey. I'm doing you people a favor just by talking to you.
Settle down, honey.
I know which parts of them taste the best.
It is amazing how the word honey addressing a woman can only go to the two extremes. Like, you get, honey, I'm home, or look, honey.
Yeah, and exactly. Like, two uses. Two uses. That's it. Or locally grown honey, and that's it.
And it's funny because, like, a waitress in a diner can say that to me, and I'll think it's the sweetest thing, and I'll order more pie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, honey, you want your usual honey? Yeah.
Exactly.
That's funny. Okay, three. You got four uses. Honey, honey positive, honey pejorative, honey charming, and honey locally harvested. There you go. All right, take this to the what?
I'm going to take this directly to Johnson.
Oh, okay. I just cut to that because my name was in there.
I'm glad you got that.
Yeah, there were a lot of Johnson references in here that I was hoping you got.
Yeah, but this lady, though.
I've never once seen him take the time to do anything nice.
Aww.
I've never seen RoboCop.
Thank you for not using that one as my high school girlfriend.
I could have, but I like the penis reference better. Here's another Mr. Johnson.
Why, Mr. Johnson? That is wonderful.
Can you guys explain her accent? I could not place it.
Good luck.
I don't know where she was from. That really. I guess I could look the lady
up. One more time on that one.
That's too lazy.
Why, Mr. Johnson? That is wonderful.
Oh, I was. Yeah, that's the main woman. The main.
That's Miss Fax, right?
Yeah. I think maybe Italian. Like, there's some Italian.
I can see that.
Okay.
I can see that. She looks Italian.
I think
she's
was
kind of
faking
got a little
then.
Bit of the Deanna Troi. what is it? Elongating the vowels kind of thing.
And Troy is what Welsh? Isn't she Welsh or something? Maybe she's a Welsh lady.
Oh, she is Welsh. She's not Italian.
Yeah.
Marina Sirtis.
Maybe she's Welsh. I don't know.
Sorry. Maybe she's Welsh.
Could be.
Well, you know what?
I think
who has information
twice.
About this? Yeah. I bet you IMDb has information.
I know. I was lazy. I could have looked it up. I was too lazy.
Yeah.
All right. How about I liked the
Australia,
sound work.
By the way.
I wrote this.
Yeah, Australia. Yeah.
It says I liked this sound work. Something about that. I don't know what it was even going on there.
It sounds like they're.
Oh, I know what it was. He was holding up the dead coach.
Removing a raccoon from the bottom of your oil pan in your car.
Yeah, he was holding up a dead coach, and the coach already been shot.
Oh, yeah,
and he was reading his rights to him, and then he moved him twice. Yeah,
yeah, like, and then dropped him.
And then just yeah, that's great.
There's
a dead raccoon in your oil pan, sir.
What, Randy?
I get a little tired of the focus on these big bolts that hold the, you know, the head together and stuff. You're like bringing out a socket wrench and
right.
things. Like, it just seems to me like you could come up with a more elegant connection.
Yeah, they didn't do that in the first one as much.
No.
This one was like obsessed with it. It was weird. All right, here's Fletcher said this earlier. Let's play it again.
He's
Bad language makes. Or a bad feeling.
They should. This is one of those movies really wanted to make the little kids cuss, man.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine the casting call for that? It's like looking for kids, parents who don't give a crap what their kids do.
Yeah, like this kid.
Go f*** the refrigerator, peck her neck.
Now, peck her neck lasted with me for at least a good couple of hours after this movie where I was just walking around calling everybody a peck her neck.
It sounds like it was something that they took from Pam and Archer.
Yeah, right. Totally.
One of those little things, you know, they just put two words together in that show.
That's pretty good. All right, here's a short one.
He's going to kick somebody.
I like that guy.
the vendor, the hot dog vendor.
Yeah.
Loved him.
He was great.
I thought that had to be a cameo, too, after the we didn't people. See him ever again.
Yeah.
It's not.
Chicken the bucket. Great name here.
Nuke money seized by police. But state attorney Sphincter won't let the bankrupt city government touch
Seriously?
It.
Sphincter.
Sphincter.
Yeah. Right across Sphincter. The head. Here you go.
Yep. Yeah, basically that's the difference, I think, between this and the first one.
Yeah.
It is subtlety. So overt. It's like there's no subtlety at all. All right, here's the grossest sound in the film. I like gross sounds. And here's one of them.
Ugh. Yeah, that's when they were...
Yeah.
Can't do that. That
when they were putting RoboCop back together, is that when?
No, it's when they were taking out Kane's brain.
Yeah,
Kane's they're making RoboCane.
And I RoboCane, and I am not interested.
I had to put some RoboCane in my. Anyway.
I'm not interested in that sound very much because I got this very gnarly crown job I got to have in a couple of weeks at the dentist, and that just reminded me of the dentist. So yeah, looking
That's
forward to that.
It's gonna stink.
It's gonna
Can
suck.
You do it? Can you get like the general anesthetic or something?
I wish. I'm gonna ask for the gas.
Yeah.
Can I get the?
Give
okay.
me the gas. Yeah.
Weird request. But okay.
Weird request, but here you go, buddy. All right.
If I fart.
Here is proof that it was 1990 for our last clip.
Don't be a queer.
Yeah, don't be a queer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not a thing you hear now, is it? Not no mo. All right. It's the checklist. The film site clip list. Jeez, Louise Scott. Let's keep it together.
Johnson.
Let's keep it together, sir. Obvious checklist. Obvious move away from metal to plastic. Check. Detroit being overrun with little criminal little leaguers. Check. And makes the Ed 209 seem like a huge wuss. Check. All right, there you go. Star Trek connections are many. The most prominent one was the kid. That kid who played Hob was in a TNG episode. He played Jeremy Astler in the episode The Bonding.
Oh, he's so creepy.
Yeah, creepy in that, right? I remember that. But he's in a ton of other stuff. Other actors. TNG, Voyager, bunch of TNG, DS9, Enterprise, the movies. Like, there are too many to list. They're a huge list. Thank you, Daryl, for bringing those. But I'll just mention the kid because it's too long. Soundtrack, great. I give it a DF for didn't fit.
Digitally.
I didn't like it. It felt like an A-Team episode, like an interstitial.
Oh, yeah,
especially
there were
beginning.
A lot of those. Yeah.
I don't get it. The first one had at least, I don't know. Something about the first one just wasn't here, and I don't know what it is. Perhaps it's pure directing.
The writers, the original director, just about everybody except for Peter Weller.
Yeah, and the girl. And the chief of police, he only had one line.
Yeah, and she was really underused, too, his sidekick, Lewis.
Yeah.
Officer Lewis.
Officer Lewis.
I did like the dueling battle scenes where RoboCop is fighting someone and then the sidekick is in another scene fighting someone at the same time. Mm-hmm. They keep intercutting between the two.
Yeah,
those are always fun.
It's always a good time. I liked his Harry Potter scar he got after the thing tried to melt his head. Little Z.
That was very iconic at the time.
All right, it's time for you guys to do the Twitter post. It's 140 characters or less. It's you guys. It's Randy. It's Dunaway. It's it. But let's start with Randy.
Like that. Oh, wait. RoboCop 2. So excited. Sorry. RoboCop 2. Like that time Scott died and we rebuilt him, but we only had parts of him from between his belly button and his knees. It kind of stank.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Oh, ooh,
that's gross. Disgusting.
Gross, too. Let's now move to Dunaway.
Like buying designer drugs in a cassette case and getting a free designer t-shirt. Seems like a good idea until RoboCop. I'm having trouble.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Wait, I was going to hit yes again. It didn't work. Damn it. There you go.
Yes.
All right. Next up, Brian Ibbett.
RoboCop 2. RoboCop tries to stop bad guys from extorting the government to fix Detroit for $50 million. Fix Detroit for $50 million? This is science fiction.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Oh, that seemed really off at the time. All right, well done. The alternate title just handed to me. Gosh dang it. That's not the right thing.
It's a much better alternate title.
All right, here you go. Just handed to me. I look sort of purple now, or Nuke will make you puke. All right, those are your alternate titles. We got an email from a listener named Andrew who wrote in, says, great show on arachnophobia and phase four, gentlemen. I recently watched Kingdom of the Spiders starring William Shatner circa late 70s. It is a perfect gem to go along with this genre. However, it is difficult to find out what film to find outside of buying the DVD, but it's worth the time and effort. Orca and the Night of the Lepus are also highly recommended. For the podcast, it still holds up after listening for years. I've come across many film podcasts that simply do not measure up. Your formula, your flow, the pace, whatever it is you guys are doing, it is one of a kind. Keep up the great work, Andrew. Well, that was nice.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew.
Sheesh, we love that kind of talk.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
More of that,
I
please.
I like my flow.
Your flow is good. Is our flow good? Hold on.
I hope so.
Wait, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
What is our next movie? I don't even know.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Do we have a next movie?
I hope we do.
Nope, we're done.
Are you supposed to go yes?
Oh, yeah. By the way, the dear writer in, we're done. That's the last episode. Hope you enjoyed it.
Hope you enjoyed it.
There is no next movie. No, there is one, and I thought I wrote
our
it
next,
down.
Our next movie is going to be True Grit, the 1969 Ooh. True Grit. We made a deal a couple weeks ago, and we're going to stick to it.
Yeah, we're doing it. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. I've never seen the original. I only know of it and know of its impact and know nothing else. Has anyone else seen True Grit with John Wayne?
I have
Wayne?
Seen True
Not
Grit.
Not the original.
Okay.
Just
John,
the remake.
John Wayne was my dad's favorite actor, and I got to see all John Wayne movies. This is why we almost did Hatari, and next week it'll be hopefully better than Hatari.
Yeah, and my dad also would have said he was his favorite actor. I think it was our dad's generation's favorite actor, just period. That was the
guy. But then you go to the airport here in Irvine, and there's a big bronze statue of John Wayne, and it feels kind of weird.
Yeah, every time we fly in there, that's where I'll go for BlizzCon every year, and we keep meaning to get a picture next to it.
It's kind of weird.
But it's weird. Yeah.
Is it any more weird than Detroit's statue of RoboCop?
If that ever get finished, that's done, I guess.
I'm down with that. Like, you know, Philadelphia has Rocky and Detroit has RoboCop. And when they're from the movies, they're awesome. But like Austin has Stevie Ray Vaughan and it's creepy. Mm. So I think it's the difference between movie characters and real people.
I'm looking at it.
Which one?
They did finish it. The big robot statue.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I don't think it's
obviously made by people who didn't see RoboCop 2.
Yeah.
Right.
True that. I am going to see that new one. I think I'm going to make it a goal between next time we talk to see the new RoboCop. Unless you guys think we should save it for the show. I don't know.
Is it streaming? I didn't think it was.
I don't think it is. I'd rent it or something. I don't know. Anyway, just something I've been thinking about. Why is Randy Quaid up on my screen? Oh, because earlier we were talking about him.
I said Randy Quaid, the deposit taker.
It was just sticking out there. All right. Anyway, so watch for that. True Grit next week. In the meantime, filmsack.com is our website. Filmsack@gmail.com is our email address on Twitter. Filmsack. Leave us reviews on your reviews on iTunes or wherever podcasts are distributed. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
Yes.
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 So who missed? Someone else has to say yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Yes.